Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Friday, the 10th of April, 2020. My name is Steve in Essex, and we've got Simon Dugan, my best friend, ready to do my Spurs journey. How you doing, Dukes?
Yeah, very well, Robbo. Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Good, good. Now, we obviously met at uni.
Correct. Many years ago.
And met in a club, and then never looked back.
I think it was our second night, wasn't it? Second night, and you had a wallet. Spurs wallet, and that was it.
Now, this is the first time you've done a podcast, isn't it?
No, the second night you and I met.
No, but this is the first time you've done a podcast,
correct.
Right?
Yeah? Correct, yeah.
So you can't talk over each other. You can't interrupt. You've got to wait for the other person to finish, then you talk, yeah?
We've got to start again.
No. I can interrupt you, by the way, because it's my show. That's how it works. Yeah?
Okay.
So,
all right.
So we met in Southampton.
Correct, yeah.
Massive Spurs fans. I had a Spurs wallet, did I?
Yeah, you had a Spurs wallet, don't you remember?
No.
I think it was the second night or the third night you had a Spurs wallet, and that was it.
Hey.
I think Si Baker was there, but he wasn't a Spurs fan. He was a Saints come Chelsea fan.
Massive Chelsea fan.
But yeah,
fan.
I think that was a huge Chelsea fan. What was that, 25 years ago? Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, a long time ago. So, but we've seen a few good Spurs games over the last few years.
Yeah.
Right.
Very
so let's
so.
Get into the my Spurs journey then.
Perfect.
Let's go through the questions. Who is your favourite football club?
Spurs, of course, 100%.
What's your favourite country in the world?
Favourite country? Great question. I'd say England, but second would be Spain.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, because I've been there for the last 25 years with you, and we've had a great time. And look, England's brilliant. England's fantastic, but Spain's great, isn't it? We've had some brilliant times there. So,
who's your most hated footballer?
My most hated footballer. God, the most hated footballer
comes to mind straight away.
Well, the first person that comes to mind is John Terry. But I think John Terry for different reasons, because I've seen him play many times against Spurs and he's just been brilliant. Like, he's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I guess I hate him for the fact that he's so good and he's won everything.
Yeah.
And he's kind of everything I've always wanted to have at Spurs.
Yeah.
You know, his passion, his desire, he's a winner. He loves his football club. But you hate him as well, don't you?
Well, he's a horrible individual, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he deserves
completely,
none of
but you would want him on your team. No, but you'd want him on your team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
100%, wouldn't you? And that's exactly what I think we've missed the last 15 years. But so as a footballer, I would probably say John Terry.
Okay. What football club do you hate the most?
Hate's quite a strong word, isn't it? Who do I
dislike?
Who would I dislike? It would have to be Chelsea.
Right, okay.
Most definitely Chelsea. I don't really have a problem with Arsenal. The fans that I know that are Arsenal fans are generally good people.
Yeah.
And they know their football and they're great to talk to. And I think it's a little bit more fun and banter with the Arsenal fans. With Chelsea fans, and Chelsea is just... Oh, God. Yeah.
Everybody says the same.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I don't like Arsenal. Arsenal the team.
I know, but you've never liked Arsenal. That's always been your thing.
Yeah, but you're right about the Chelsea thing. It's when you look, oh, God, Chelsea, my God. Okay, who's your favourite ever player?
Yeah, and they always seem to... Well, the thing with Chelsea is they always seem to beat us when... They always seem to get it over on us when it's a cup, or it's the league, whatever.
Yeah.
It's always Chelsea that does us.
It is, yeah.
Oh, and it's frustrating.
It is. Who's your favourite ever player?
Well, I think you might think I might say someone else, but I'm definitely going to go for Gazza.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
Oh, did you? I thought you might say Hoddle.
Or Gary Lineker. Go on, Gaza. Why is it
I did love the links, but... Well, I think when I first got into watching football and the first few games I went to, obviously he wasn't around, but that was 84, 85. And then we signed Gaza, and I just think watching him, like the passion he had for the team, his personality, what he brought to the team. And I'll never forget the cup run. We went to the cup final, and I think he scored in every round or nearly every round, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think did we beat Oxford at home?
Yeah.
And then or someone at home. Then we beat Pompey away when he scored a brilliant goal. Notts County at home, sorry. Then Pompey away. And then obviously Arsenal.
Yeah.
With the great goal. And then obviously I went to the cup final, and I never forget it. Before the game, he's coming out and he's moonwalking in his moccasins and he's kicking balls.
Yeah.
And he was alive, wasn't he? He was completely full of it, like too much. And you could see from the whistle, as soon as the whistle went, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
And then he put that tackle in and that was it. But I just think he got us up. He got us, you know, interested in it. And he got us to the cup final and, you know, he won us a cup, basically.
Yeah.
So... you know, and we've had some great players, but Gazza's one that I've seen and watched the most, and yeah, so for me, 100% Gazza.
How about when you hit your ball into the ravine in Spain and looked up and there was Gazza?
when we were playing golf?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was just a brilliant, wasn't it? It was just, I was lost for words. I didn't really know what to say. It was brilliant. But he was just great, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did you like, who was your favourite?
Chris Waddle.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. What about your favourite manager?
Well, we've had some interesting managers, haven't we? And I did, you know, with Terry Venables, getting us to the cup final was great. But for the last few years, or the last 5 years, I've got to go with Poch.
Yeah.
Just because... He is everything he's everything that I loved about, you know, A, the way we played football. Like, the way we played football for about 3 years was just fantastic.
Yeah.
He loved the club. He loved the players. You know, from a PR point of view, he was fantastic for us. He was passionate. He brought the youngsters through. You know, everyone raved about him. And you could, you know, he was... like your mate, wasn't he, as well? He was someone you felt you knew really well.
Yeah.
But he absolutely wanted us to do well, and he developed great players, and the football we played for about 3 years was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Was just absolutely brilliant.
Did we get rid of him too soon?
Well, I can go into that if you want, but I think if you actually look at it, for the 18 months prior, he was crying out for two or three new players.
Yeah.
You know, he was crying out for two, and everyone was saying, what a great job he's doing. But actually, he was, look, I've done 3 years with this team. You've got to refresh it. And you look at, you know, Man United, you look at Liverpool, and you look at Chelsea and Arsenal. Every 3 or 4 years, they bring in three top players.
Yeah.
And we just didn't do it. And I think from that point, it was gone. It was broken. And you could tell in his press conferences, and you can tell in how he was and where the team was going.
Yeah.
It was on the slide. So I think as a coach, he was absolutely fantastic. But we didn't back him. We didn't give him those three players that he asked for.
Yeah.
And it was always going to go downhill. Yeah. Always going to go downhill.
Dogs barking. We just ignore
him. The dogs agreeing. But I just think I think it was the completely wrong decision to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Because look where we are now.
Well, that's right.
You know.
Yeah, we'll see. Right, what about a legendary player? Doesn't have to be
Spurs.
Top.
Well, so for me, we've been, you know, being at home a lot lately. I've watched two fantastic TV programmes. One's on Maradona.
Yeah.
And one is on Jimmy Greaves, who we've got to give a big shout out to.
Yeah.
As Spurs fans, that he's struggling at the moment. So,
yeah.
But Maradona... he would have been brilliant for Spurs. He would have been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
He's a bit like Gazza, wasn't he? He's a one man, and he was drove the team.
And then he got done for drugs in 94, but he was on Ozzy Ardiles' list, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, can you imagine that team with Maradona in here? Yeah. But he did play for Spurs, and he had testimonial, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I would say, but I just think Maradona gives us that. He'd have given us that flair, which we love.
Yeah.
He scores great goals. You know, he takes teams on his own, and he's a Spurs player. He's everything that we would love about completely.
So in that documentary, the way he single-handedly took Napoli to two titles, a UEFA Cup.
Well, they were bottom, exactly. They were nearly bottom of the league, and he come in, two titles, UEFA Cup, European. He took him to the European Cup. I don't know if he took him to the final, but he took. He was just. But it was purely down to him fans, and that's what I mean. We would have loved him. We would have absolutely loved him.
Who's your favourite goalie?
God, we've had some goalies, haven't we? Probably Ray Clements.
Yeah, I went for Ray Clements.
Did you?
Why did you go for Ray Clements?
Well, because he was, when I first started watching Spurs, he was our goalie, and he had the Le Coq Sportif kit on, which was a brilliant kit back then.
Yeah.
And he was just great. He was suave. He was cool. He made saves. He was just brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But he was very calm and collective. I nearly said Tony Park, Tony, because of the UEFA Cup, but he hardly played. But I would say. I mean, look, you look at the goalies we've had since. They've been good, but Ray Clements was great. I know you'd have probably gone with Pat, wouldn't you? Pat Jones?
No, I went with Ray Clements only because I didn't see Pat play.
No. So, no, it's hard to say someone you never saw play. So, for me, I would go Ray Clements.
All right. Who's your favourite ever defender?
Oh, favourite ever defender?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably Steve Perryman.
All right, okay.
Not Ledley King.
Yeah.
Because
you
again,
didn't like Ledley King.
I love Ledley King. I absolutely love Ledley King. But you know, you compare him to what Steve Perryman done, and even now when you hear Steve Perryman talk, he loves Spurs. Like he's through and through. He was over 800 odd games.
Yeah.
You know, get a couple of FA Cups. I think a couple of UEFA Cups, League. You know, he was brilliant. But the players looked at him, and he was everything that we love. He had the passion, he had the desire. You know, he played in great football teams. I don't think he got much for England, did he? He didn't really get the recognition for England that he should have got.
Who?
Steve Perryman. No. Yeah. But he's everything, isn't he? He's everything again. He was a bit like our John Terry, I guess. If you look at, not necessarily the level of trophies, but the, you know, he was our captain that won us trophies.
Yeah.
All right. And we've had some great defenders since. No, I say we've had some great defenders since, but no, he's the one for me.
All right. What about your favourite midfielder?
Glenn Hoddle. Well, Gazza, but Gazza's midfielder come forward, and you can't not mention Glenn Hoddle, can you?
No. So did you watch Glenn Hoddle play? Because you're a little bit older than me.
I mean, he was just brilliant, didn't he? And, you know, yeah, I'm only a few years older. Yeah. Come on. But I thought Glenn Hoddle. But you look at, again, you look at, like, the skill and the way that his passing ability, and, you know, he would get into any team in the world. Like, can you imagine him playing in Barcelona or Real Madrid or any of these teams? He's a £100 million player plus, surely.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just, you know, I remember rolling your socks down, and even now with Louis, you know, he's 12, and I'm always, when he's out running or training, I'm like, oh, you know, be like Glenn Hoddle, roll your socks down. You know, that was Glenn Hoddle, wasn't he?
Was he just up, Dad?
No, he says, yeah, I've watched that on YouTube. Oh, he loves it.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. But Glenn Hoddle, I think, was like, there's two things for me that were great. The Ajax semi-final.
Yeah.
He was just brilliant, wasn't he, on BT? Yeah. He was absolutely brilliant. But the downside is, I think I was with you, but I'm sure we went to the game against Southampton when it was his last ever game as manager.
Yeah.
And weren't we losing 3 or 4-0, and people were chucking season tickets on the pit, and it was just horrible.
I think that was Blackburn at home.
Was it Blackburn? I know we lost to Saints as well, but it was just,
was that his last game?
Yeah, and it wasn't good to see, was it?
No, he started that
because he's a brilliant.
What about that first season? Or so he obviously came in just before the semi-final. We went to that game.
Yeah.
We went to that game, had a brilliant night. When we went to a really nice place in Manchester, didn't we? With your mate.
Yes.
And they brought us the bill, they forgot that we had a load of food. We paid for the drinks and went, oh, cheers.
We're off.
And then we went to the game. Gary Doherty scored, and then they just pummeled us, basically.
It was just awful, wasn't it?
And then took about 8 hours to get home. It was awful. And then, but that was his first game. And what he'd done, Glenn Hoddle, for that game was he said, well, he tried to get the team playing. And he said afterwards, after lumping it long for 2.5 years with George Graham, he was trying to get him to play it on the deck, and it was hard. Start next season. Remember, we was in a bar in Spain watching, and we beat Newcastle 3-1. Gus Poyet got a great lob.
Yes.
And we were
We sold Sol Campbell, didn't we? Didn't he?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, but we were rocking. We were for that for certainly three quarters of that first season, and it sort of faded from memory. But we were playing some great stuff.
But if you ask any England player like Ian Wright and a few of those other people, they all say he was the best.
Oh, they
like
love
the
him,
best
yeah.
coach, yeah. the best coach ever. And I just don't really get why he doesn't do any more. I don't know. You know, he could have done so much, couldn't he?
Absolutely. They say he's too good, don't they? They say, right, ping the ball in, and just, what I want you to do is do this, and then the players will go, I can't do that. What about your favourite striker?
Oh, favourite striker. God, you've had some brilliant strikers.
I like these questions, don't you?
Yeah, they're really good questions. My favourite striker, so... When we was at university, it was all about Lineker, wasn't it? It was Lineker constantly.
Well, Lineker had just finished when we were at uni.
Just about.
It was Klinsmann, but Lineker...
And Teddy.
Huh?
And Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah.
You and
Lee Kenyon was constantly talk about, everyone likes Gazza. We like Lineker, just to be different.
Yeah. We had pictures of him up on the wall every time he scored a goal. We love Lineker. And the thing about Lineker was he always took the goalie on. A bit like when I watched the Jimmy Greaves thing.
Yeah.
You know, there was none of these big shots from outside the box. And they always went round the goalie.
Always went round the goalkeeper. Now,
both of them.
You very rarely see that now. They almost bottle it and shoot before.
Completely. So I think Lineker, Klinsmann, Berbatov. I loved Berbatov. For two seasons, Berbatov was brilliant for us. Wasn't he?
Yeah.
I know he was lazy, but he was brilliant. But it might be controversial, but I'll probably go Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Only because I've seen him the most.
Yeah.
Like I've watched the most games, and I've seen him score some great goals.
Yeah.
And I think he's got so much more potential and as well. And I remember his first game when he. I think he'd been on loan and he'd come back. I think it was a cup game. I think it was a Carling Cup or someone like that. And I took Louis. Was it against? He went to extra time.
I think it was Hearts.
Hull. No, yeah, but he played. Didn't he play Hull in the Carling Cup?
Yeah.
And he scored. And then he scored against Aston Villa, didn't he? Away.
Yeah.
That was one of his first goals. And you could just tell. You thought, God, he's going to be great. Yeah. Like he's going to be great. He just gets injured once a year. That's the problem.
I said he was bang average at that moment. Got it all
Did
wrong.
You?
Got it all wrong, yeah.
So I would probably say, only because I've seen him the most, I think I will go Harry Kane.
All right. What's the first football match you remember seeing?
Live or on telly?
Up to you.
Well, on telly was the two cup finals. Man City and QPR, but my first live game was April.
I thought you went to the 81 Cup final.
No. I was only seven.
Okay.
Not me. No, I didn't go to that one. But they were the first two that I watched, and that's when I properly became a Spurs fan, just because of those games. But my first ever game was 1984, April 84 against Liverpool, and we won 2-0, and Steve Archibald scored both.
Oh, brilliant.
And it was brilliant. Oh, it was brilliant. I remember, I can see the whole day now. Getting up there, getting the train, Seven Sisters, going into the... Oh, it was brilliant. It was all standing then. But I loved it. Oh, God. But,
good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
All right. What football match made you cry?
Oh, a Spurs game or?
Up to you. Comes to mind. When did you cry at a football match?
Probably.
Or even watch it on telly?
Okay. So, right. So the first one is Spurs Ajax.
Right.
Most definitely. Definitely last year. Like, I was in pieces. Like, me and Louis watched it, and we were in pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, the Man City game before was similar, because we turned the telly off when they scored that goal, and then we turned it back on.
How long was it on for?
Oh, 30 seconds.
Right, okay.
In disgust. And then we turned it straight back on. It's like, what? I mean, that wasn't tears. That was more joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got through, but I think
so
the
wait,
eyes...
So when Sterling scored,
yeah.
you turned the telly off?
Yeah, yeah. That's it. We're not
so
watching
when
it.
So you turned it on, what happened when you turned
well,
it back on?
We turned it back on and it was all a bit of a commotion. And then Louis went, I think that was offside. I was like, what? And then that was it. It was offside. It was just ridiculous. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we'd already started. That was it. We're out. We're done. 30 seconds later, we're back in.
Brilliant.
But I think the Ajax one was the one. And do you know what? I even watch it now. I probably watch that a few times a week.
Yeah.
Still. BT uncut version or...
Yeah, the BT unfiltered version.
Definitely.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, or a few of the fans. It was just amazing. And we didn't even have our best side. Like, if you look at who was out.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but
obviously.
As a team, we were just fantastic, weren't we? Oh, brilliant. So that was probably the game. Yeah. Saying that, I had a tear mile when Louis scored a belter for the under-11s from outside the box, but because it was a great goal.
What's the funniest football match of all time?
The funniest?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably going to be with you, but I can't remember why.
I tell you what, we've been laughing quite a lot at Saints Spurs 6-2.
What a way.
Singing the Ronnie Rosenthal
song. Yeah. And he kept scoring, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he kept scoring. That was probably the funniest because it was just, I think we were down in Southampton at university and we'd had a load of beers.
Yeah.
And it was in the away end and it was brilliant, wasn't it? So.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been other funny times, but yeah. Or maybe when we used to go
Arsenal
to the old...
games that you've laughed at?
Well, wait there. No, when we used to go to the old games and the guys behind you that used to moan all the time.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Constantly. And you're like, and it was so funny, the stuff they would say.
Yeah.
And then that player would go and score.
Yeah.
And you'd
constant
turn around and go, what do you think?
Yeah, what about the player? Yeah. The old player used to moan at Robbie Keane the whole time.
Didn't he leave on the 80th minute every game?
Every game, and then Robbie Keane would score. Yeah. what's the worst football match you've ever seen?
The worst? Gosh. There's been a few at Spurs, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think recently when we lost to Brighton, only because we've been so good for like 4 or 5 years.
Loris broke his arm. Yeah.
I think that we were a shambles,
that
but that's only
awful,
recently.
Yeah.
That was like awful.
Yeah.
There's been a few times against Arsenal when we've got properly stuffed.
Yeah. Do you remember when you came down for the day and I had to organise the big day with everybody?
Yes.
And we lost 3-0.
Yes.
And I just got drunk and went home at about 6 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. But it's always Arsenal that would stuff us, properly stuff us.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, all cup semi-finals. Like, cup semi-finals, how many of them have we lost?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think it's 11 or 12 in a row or something. So, that's too many.
Well,
too many of those.
The Portsmouth one was probably one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. And we've always been favourites going into them, or 80% of them.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I come back to... You said about who do you have? I'd say John Terry. You have someone like that in your team, and you don't lose that. You don't lose those games.
No, you're right. What have you ever been at a football match and it scared you? Or in a pub? And
probably my first ever game, which was Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because it was all standing.
Yeah.
And Liverpool Tottenham, and I remember coming out the ground, and it was just mayhem, like absolute mayhem. Back then, in like mid-80s, it was just rife, wasn't it? It was just mad. Yeah, proper. And I was petrified. And I was only like, I was only seven, what was I? So I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, what is this all about? I mean, it was properly, and I thought, oh, God. Yeah, that's the only time, really. There's been a few other times. I've been to a few Tottenham West Ham games at home, and it's a little bit edgy, isn't it, all around the ground. But no, I've never really been away.
I went to West Ham away a couple of years ago. Do you remember when it was Tim Sherwood?
Yes, yes.
And we'd lost to everyone, and we were going nowhere, and it was just an awful season. And I got a ticket through ASD, who's on Echoes of Glory podcast quite a lot. Anyway, I thought, because we'll have one last hurrah, you know, it'd be like this. Away at West Ham, get a win, feel good. And then I think we had one more game at home after that. But, you know, this would have been, you know, like almost a mini cup final for us,
because
we'd lost to everybody else. So went along, and it was the worst game of football. I mean, Spurs were shocking. It was the one where I think Paulinho and Adebayor were in the wall, and they both got out of the way for Etherington, I think, to score. Or Matt Jarvis or whoever scored, went straight through the wall. It was pathetic. And Soldado missed an open goal, and it was just a pathetic performance. Anyway, luckily, because we were so bad.
Would you in the away end?
Yeah. Luckily, and by the way, it was vile. It was both sets of fans.
Hatred, isn't it?
I thought, crap, I'm never bringing my boy
into
an away game. Like after that, we've been to a couple of away games, not been so bad. Although probably topping that was the cup, the Champions League. The whole day was amazing and the weekend was amazing. But in the stadium, these two blokes behind me and my dad just swore and were abusive and were just angry for the entire time. I know that Spurs fans were kind of angry because we let the goal in after 17 seconds, but it was just awful. It was horrible. And anyway, going back to that West Ham game, luckily, because we were so bad and we were going nowhere, I left. I just said to we may have left together, but we didn't get the because we go down a little alley to get back to the train station.
Right.
And luckily, obviously, that it was the West Ham's last game of the season, so all their fans stayed, and we didn't see them, so we got out of there no problem. Mad. Right.
It's just not nice.
What football player did you used to love but you don't anymore?
Oh. Who did I used to love but I don't anymore?
Did you at one point and then you're like, oh no, don't love you anymore?
God, dearie me. Who did I not? Oh, blimey. Gareth Bale, maybe. Gareth Bale was brilliant at Spurs. And I think I understand why he left. But maybe Sol Campbell, you can't really put him in there because, you know, that was Sol Campbell, wasn't it? I don't know. You've got me on that one. Someone I've used to like.
Jason McGovern didn't say on his podcast, but he did message me after and said, Danny Rose.
Really?
Yeah. So I used to love him and then not so much anymore.
I think Danny Rose would still be great for us. I think Danny Rose would be fantastic for us.
He's all over the place with his head, isn't he? It's like,
he's not.
He can come back in and completely, play and he'll be fine.
Completely. You're completely in the wrong place.
Yeah, it's not like, so he's cut, he obviously is moaning about Mourinho coming in, but his head was all over the place before that. But the competition is Ben Davis, who is a steady Eddie left back.
Best 6 out of 10, isn't he, Ben Davis?
Himself, right, okay, I'm missing the chip shop up in Doncaster or whatever it is, he said.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to go back up north. But for goodness sake, think to yourself, let's have one final season at least, see what I can do. Play under Mourinho. So come back to... obviously, he's still with Newcastle till the end of the season, as if they play it out. Or that what happens with loan players? Do they come back? You know, how long is the loan for?
I'm surprised they let him go. Like,
yeah, but hang on, just on that. I mean, with this loan situation, is the loan up until? Is there a date, or is the loan for the rest of the season? So if the season resumes, say it resumes in June, is the loan finished? So is Danny Rose back with us? If it is, then surely he has a word with himself and thinks, right, you know, go up to Mourinho and say, listen, I do want to have one last hurrah with Tottenham. I'm going to give 100%. I'm going to keep my mouth shut and I'm going to play my heart out. Wouldn't you love to see that?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting what happens, because a lot of these players, let's say, for instance, he was out of contract at the end of this year, which runs to June, and the season goes through to July, but he's still at Newcastle. Who does he actually play for then? Because if your contract runs out at the end of June, which a lot of these players do, Vertonghen runs out, these players, but we play in July.
Mm.
How's that going to work?
Well, I think they'll extend the contracts, so that won't be an issue. But I do wonder what they're doing with the loans. You've got to think about the players. It's not just a question of, oh, it's all right, Jan Vertonghen can play for another 3 months for Tottenham to finish the season. He might be thinking, no, I don't want to play for Tottenham. I'm done with Tottenham.
Yeah, and he's probably thinking, they're probably thinking that I've got a nice 2 or 3 year deal coming somewhere. Yeah. Why would I want to jeopardise that? But And back to Danny Rose, I think Danny Rose, there's been times, like, he's just been so good, like, so good.
Mm.
And Pochettino was brilliant with him. Saying that, though, in the last season, he kept getting brought off on about the 80th minute. He never saw the games out, did he, ever?
No, but he started all the big games.
Yeah, yeah. I would take him back, I think. I think, you know, when we had him and Kyle Walker, we were, and that's where we struggled, but... I don't really have someone that I hate. No, sorry.
A lot of people come back on that. Kyle Walker being the best right back, at the time and everything. And I know, you know, Man City got him, obviously, because he was the best right back. But in that team at that time, he was our worst player, wasn't he?
He went through a period, didn't he? He went through half a season where he was our worst. You know, he wasn't our best player, and he kept making mistakes.
Yeah, and he was frustrating. And out of those 11 that started, you know, the season that we obviously it was our last season at White Hart Lane. Out of that, I think it was the wasn't it the fifth round tie or fourth round tie against Crystal Palace, where he was trying to play. He was up against. Oh, who's the guy?
Zaha.
Crystal Palace. No, it wasn't Zaha. It was the guy, I think he went to Everton afterwards.
He got a terrible knee injury.
Yeah.
Blatty.
Anyway, and he was trying to play who's got the best skills with like 5 minutes to go or whatever. Lost the ball.
Yeah.
And then they went and scored and knocked us out of the cup.
And
it was all times like that. Yeah, they say like he'd give the ball away but then he'd recover. But he was really frustrating. In that season, and I think, you know, he wanted to go. He told Poch, didn't he? I want to go
completely.
That's why he didn't play very much in the last like 10 or 15 games,
because
he'd already told him I want to go. Obviously, he got tapped up by Man City, who said like we want you. So he'd obviously that was the move that was on, and then you know what he did. I mean, people say we shouldn't have got rid of him. How'd you do that? How'd you tell somebody, sorry, you're not going. You want to go. The other team want you. They're willing to pay a load of money for you, but now you're staying. He wanted to go. What can you do?
But unfortunately, this comes back to, and we haven't really spoke about it, is the whole Daniel Levy scenario that, you know, you offer 50 million. You know, Daniel Levy is a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, and we could get really deep on this, but there's two sides to it. You know, Daniel Levy is a businessman first rather than a football owner first. You know, he thinks business rather than football. And there's great examples of that. And that's another.
He didn't sell any of the other players. He sold.
No, but I think when you're going to get 50 odd million for a right back, I think he was.
Yeah.
It was too easy to not say. What's your view on Daniel Levy?
Well, my view at the moment, that's what I'm saying. So if you look at the other side of it, he should never have got rid of him. The player wanted to go, first of all.
Yeah.
So he's already said that. Pochettino said, yeah, fine, you can go, because he wasn't playing him in the last few
games. And he had Trippier.
So it wasn't like he was trying to convince him to stay. Pochettino was like, fine, you want to go? Bugger off, sort of thing. And then the deal was done. So Levy really got a good deal for that, I suppose. Yeah. The only trouble is, after that, you know, I partly blame Poch for not finding the correct players to bring in, because obviously, you know, you've got Aurier and Trippier, and if he wasn't happy with Aurier, then he should have I don't know, stepped down or something. But he didn't. He got fired in the end. You know, it would have been interesting to see Pochettino, you know, and see what Mourinho does now. So if Mourinho in the next few months turns around and goes, actually, you leave Daniel, because he won't be quiet, will he? He, you know, and Pochettino, no. You know, we've already said, he's a great guy, so he's not going to throw Tottenham and Levy under the bus, but Mourinho will. But I don't blame Levy completely, because I think that Pochettino should have said, right, I'm not getting the players I want. Sorry, but this project isn't for me. But he never said that.
But let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question as a diehard Spurs fan.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, do you think Daniel Levy looks at the league table and sees where we are and how successful we've been? Or do you think he looks at the balance sheet and the P&L?
Well, both.
What do you think he looks at first?
Well, they go hand in hand.
I know, but what do you think he looks at first? That's what I'm saying. You know, he's not a football man, he's a businessman. Yeah,
the most successful... So if we got to the Champions League final, that gives you loads more millions, doesn't it?
So
you've got to ask the question, did he want to win that Champions League final? Yes, because it would have been even more millions.
Yes.
So it goes hand in hand. So he's not turning around...
But there's been a few...
Go on.
No, look, for me, new stadium, best in the world, fantastic. New training ground, best... Like, you can't deny all that.
Yeah.
But there's definitely been times from a football point of view. Harry Redknapp had it. You know,
I'll tell you what happened with the Harry Redknapp.
We were going great guns,
go on, yeah.
And we wanted a couple of signings,
yeah.
And we ended up with Saha and a right back.
Right,
okay,
but so which signings did he want? No one can ever say.
No, but
maybe Cahill he wanted, wasn't he one of them?
Right,
but maybe.
But
we know at the time that he didn't like Harry Redknapp. He knew he was going to get rid of Harry Redknapp at the end of the season. He didn't like him. They weren't getting on very well.
So why didn't he give Poch the players that he wanted then after 3 years?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. If Poch didn't get the players he wanted, why didn't Poch say, I'm not getting the players I want, I'm going?
But I think he kind of did, didn't he? He kind of let on. That's look.
What players did he want? I mean, what players did Poch want and he didn't get?
We don't know, because he never actually said it, and he's not the type of manager that comes out and says that. But what I'm saying about Daniel Levy is that if we had a chairman or if we had an owner who was 100% about football and not about business, would we have won a few more things?
No.
Would we have? No. You don't think?
No. Well, okay. Well, let's go back in
Roman Abramovich.
Let's go back in the cup finals, right? So we get to the final of the Champions League. What is Levy doing that makes Sissoko stick his hand out after 17 seconds?
No, but it's not that. You've got to take it back 18 months.
Go back from there. Go to the League Cup.
Yeah.
We lost the League Cup in semi-final on penalties.
Yeah.
Because the law of the game changed, so they didn't have the away goals rule anymore.
Yeah.
And we lost on penalties. How's that Levy's fault?
Okay, right. So what I'm saying is...
Then go back to the FA Cup last year. We lost 2-0, right, because we had to play a weakened side because we played loads of... We had the League Cup semi-finals, plus we were pushing for top four, right? And we were still in the Champions League. And the weakened side that we played, right, we had a chance to equalise and Trippier... tried to cross it instead of scoring the penalty. How's that Levy's fault?
So, okay, I'll answer all of them as well.
Go on then.
If Levy had invested in the team that Poch wanted him to invest in,
right?
But we wouldn't. But we would have had a better team.
But we don't know. But we don't know
Okay, but there's a good chance, isn't there? Isn't there a good chance that if we'd have had the players, we'd have had a better team, and therefore in all of those games, we'd have put a better side out, and therefore our chances of winning would be higher. So I think I just think that I don't know how much.
So buy more better players.
Well, I just don't know.
Better players.
I just don't know how much Levy is all about having the best football team over having the best business.
Well, he took us. We got to semi-finals and finals, and you know all this stuff about balance sheets and all that. We don't know. I mean. We don't know it
because you know we don't know. All I'm saying is I just don't know if like you know you look at Roman.
He's just spent $63 million on a player who can't run 10 meters without being out of breath.
Yeah,
I mean he's got to look at that and go for crying out loud. I've spent all this money on a player that everybody's banging on about.
Yeah,
everybody wanted him. This Ndombele. He's absolutely. I mean, how's that worked out? And then Man United go and spend that money on Fernandes, who hits the ground running. He's got to look at it and go, what am I doing wrong here? What is going on?
But actually, Fernandes was meant to come to us.
Yeah,
wasn't he under Poch?
But whose fault is that? Is that because Levy said no? I'm only paying this amount for him or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's instead gone for Ndombele. You know, at the time, again, let's go back to at the time. So in the middle of the summer. There's Ndombele and there's Fernandes. Who did most people want?
Fernandes.
No, they didn't. They wanted Ndombele. Everybody was banging on about Ndombele.
Right.
They were banging on about Ndombele for probably about a year.
I just think that's the one area that I'm not sure about with Daniel Levy. Look, like you can, he's brilliant, and that's where you know he's a brilliant businessman. Clearly. Because of what he's done and where he's taken.
Is he a brilliant businessman?
Well, when he's in terms of what he's done and what he's created at Spurs, he is, because of what he's given us over the last 10 years from a stadium, from a training ground and everything else. Fantastic. But he's done things as well recently that you question as well.
I'd say his managerial choices have been poor, pretty much. Getting Pochettino was brilliant.
Yeah.
But some of the other ones were awful.
Yeah.
I think the little things he gets wrong as well, you know, like with the stadium, little, you know, without going into it, there's a few things where he can probably make more money. I mean, closing down the Spurs shops and just having one main central one, I think it's a ridiculous decision. So that we've got one in Southend, which I don't know what the business was doing, but I was certainly going there, you know, once every couple of weeks, buying something, got rid of that. Can't really go to the mega store in Tottenham because you have to queue outside I don't know, but so there's something.
I just think it's I just.
Go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say some things that I think you can't blame him for. So
no.
So in football matters, we play that final, and let's face it, if Sissoko doesn't stick his hand out after 17 seconds. We were actually the better side in that final. Okay?
Yeah.
And say what you want, all down to the score, and I know that. But if you and no one's watched the game back, and I just flicked it on the other day, and Jermaine Jenas, just that last 10 minutes, Jermaine Jenas actually says on commentary, something's happening here. Tottenham are on top. Tottenham are really playing well, and I've just got a sneaky feeling that something's going to happen. And then about 2 minutes later, Origi scores, and that's the end of the game. But you know what? One of those little chances goes in, a little deflected shot or whatever. We're sitting here now. We wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be saying, you know, with Champions Europe, Levy's brilliant, isn't he? But all these things, like, we want to win trophies, but it's hard. You've got Man City owned by...
It's really hard.
You've got all these other teams that have got this mass support that we're now trying to get. You know, how many times you've been, like you say, we're in Spain and you talk to, you know, a waiter or you talk to a bloke and you go, oh, who do you support? And you say Tottenham and they're like, who? Particularly like going back 10 years. Like now you know. Now you know Tottenham. But
But I see it with all the kids at football training. All the, you know, there's a lot more Spurs, a lot more kids now, not from this season, but the last three or four seasons, that are all Spurs fans. I just think there could be. Look, you're right. Lucas Moura had a chance. You know, there was a few chances in that last 20 minutes that we could have done something. But I just, the jury's still out for me on him about how, you know, I'd love to ask him what it, you know, what his aim is. Like, what is he trying to do there?
But if Levy would have bought Mane, he would have bought Tielemans.
Yeah.
He would have bought all these other players that we link with. Yeah, sure. Yeah. We'd have won more trophies. Or would we? Because don't forget, Man City have won seven out of the last eight domestic trophies. So it's not like Everton are going to winning trophies. It's not like, you know, and the other teams that have won trophies, like the Swanseas and even Leicester, you know, they drop out of the league a couple of years later. Birmingham won the Carabao Cup, Carling Cup, and then they haven't. So I don't know. Is that what we want? I know what people want. They want trophies and top four and the best players and to pay the most wages, pay them what they want. And they also want the cheapest seats and they don't want to sit next to anyone who's from Korea, which is a disgrace, in my opinion, when people say things like that. You know?
I get it.
Bloody tourists. Yeah, do you know, that really annoys me. I don't care who I sit next to at a football match.
No.
Certainly no one stopped me singing. When they talk about all these tourists, they're like, oh, yeah, you sit down and you've got a load of tourists and people do dare to say, oh, these blokes from Korea, who, by the way, save up their money. I sat next to one for the Liverpool game. I was like, oh, mate, you're from Korea? Yeah. Flew all the way from Korea, 4 days in England, and then flew back just to see Tottenham.
But we want that. We want a worldwide stage. Completely. We want a worldwide stage. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
You know, we want, you know.
People bang on about the crowd and stuff at the new stadium. Well, get singing then. No one's stopping you.
Yeah, but I think it takes a few. We're also in a bit of a transition where you don't know who likes the manager, who doesn't like the manager. Like, you know, you don't know how that's going to pan out. You know, is he going to go to Daniel Levy and say, well, if you want me to make this team great, I need 200 million? Well, Daniel Levy's not going to give him 200 million, is he?
He might say, right, Jose Mourinho says, right, I want this player, this player, this player. It's 200 million. You know, I think you've got to have certain guarantees on that. You know, but he might, I don't know. He spent a lot this summer, didn't he? 63 million in Ndombele, and how much was Lucho in the end? 30 million, that's 100 million straight away.
He got him on a deal, but I just it's just an interesting one. I think we're in a place now where we're all, you know, 50% of people would take Poch back, 50% wouldn't. I think real football fans would probably take him back and realise he was a great coach. Right. He was a great coach, and he just wasn't backed, or should have said, I want a year out. I want 12 months out.
Yeah, well, that's my argument. If he wasn't backed, then why didn't he come out and say, I wasn't backed? Save himself. Say it's, you know,
yeah.
Tell us.
I don't think that's in his nature. He's not that.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, I don't think he wasn't backed. I think he said, no, I'm happy with what I got.
Right.
That's what I think. Don't know. Okay. Don't know though, do we? Don't know. That's why it's good to have a little bit of back.
Exactly. Exactly. But I'd have him back. Put it this way.
Would you?
And if there's £100 million on the table, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think I'm with you.
As a coach. Yeah. Right, anyway.
Last couple of questions.
Okay.
Right, ready?
Let's go.
I've lost my questions. What footballer do you have to defend because everyone says he's rubbish, but you actually quite like him, or have over the years?
Jose Dominguez.
Yes, I said him.
You didn't. I knew you'd say him.
Loved him. Loved Jose Dominguez. Came on.
Michael Carrick.
Came off for Ginola.
Yeah.
Every game, and they used to high five and like, best mates. Go on then.
Michael Carrick.
Yeah.
Very underrated. Never really saw him, did we, properly at Spurs, I don't think.
He had that one great game, didn't he, against Arsenal. And he dribbled through and he nearly scored a brilliant goal. He was a class footballer, and I think he probably was better at Man United. And that's where Modric, I think, also is somebody that was better at Real Madrid. You know, he was great for us, but he divides opinion. Most people say he's amazing, but I'm in the camp of, he was all right.
me too.
Right, last question.
Yeah.
Right. What match is the greatest of all time?
The greatest of all time. God, dearie me. What, Spurs game or the 66 World Cup?
Up to you. We'll say 66 World Cup.
It's the greatest of all time, isn't it?
All right.
I was with you at the last game of the season when Man City beat QPR. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember it being like the 88th minute and United are going to win the league. And then, oh no, they've scored again. And we were leading and they've scored again. I think we were competing with Arsenal, but the Man City QPR game is unbelievable.
Good shout. Not had that one yet.
The Tottenham Arsenal, again, I saw yesterday, with the 4-4, Harry Redknapp.
Yes.
Was a brilliant game.
Yes.
You know.
What I like about that is if you go back and watch, I think it's the Arsenal substitution, just before Jenna scores, and the Arsenal guy's jogging off and he's applauding the fans, and then the sub comes on and he sort of just trots on, big high five to the guy coming off, and just like gets into position and they're all laughing and joking, and then the guy gives it away, didn't he, to Jermaine Jennings, and he scores a great goal, and so Arsenal basically are thinking they've won it, they're just like this is all done. So that, I love that.
It was just a classic Spursy, which I was at as well, I think, with you, was the Tottenham Man United 3-0 up at half time. Oh, God, do you remember that?
When
we lost 5-3.
Yeah.
And we were brilliant that first half, the best football we've ever played.
I'll tell you what, though, what a performance by Man United in that second half.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Beckham, Varane.
Yeah.
I think Cole got the first one.
Yeah.
They were out of this world, weren't they, in that second half.
I know we lost, but it was an amazing game to watch.
Yeah.
You know, to be 3-0 up at half time and to lose 5-3 was just like, I think that was Hoddle. Was that Hoddle? So there you go.
All right, brilliant. Well, I think we've done well there.
Have we covered it all off?
Covered it all off. All the questions. Now we know.
Now you know,
anything you want to plug?
No, I was going to get really deep on Daniel Levy then, but we held off, didn't we?
No, we did. We did well. You know, in conclusion, there's pros and cons, but I try and, when the media or another Spurs fan asks me a question, I know the answer. You know, it's like, oh, what do you think of Levy?
Yeah.
Is it balance sheets or is it football? And of course, 99% of Spurs fans go, well, it's balance sheets because he's all into money. But then I try and look a little bit deeper into it, or try and take the other side of it. Or, you know, what would you do if you were sitting in a room with Daniel Levy and right now, and you said to him, Daniel, why are you so tight? Why didn't you get the players that Poch wanted? What would Levy say? That's what I think. Would Levy turn around and say, well, the thing is, we had Mane, and it was between us and Liverpool, and he said, actually, I don't want to join Liverpool, one of the biggest teams in the world. I don't want to join that. I want to join Tottenham. But Southampton want £5 more. But are you willing to pay that £5 more? Because Liverpool are. And I don't really want to go to Liverpool. I want to join Spurs. And then Levy said, no, I'm not paying £5 more. And then that's how we lost Levy, how we lost Mane. I doubt it very much. I doubt that's what happened.
I think
he'd say something different to that. And with the furloughing thing going on, I think if you sat down with him and he said, look at this, and this, and this, and this, and you go, wow, okay, yeah, I can see why you've made that decision. Your PR is awful. But even then, he'd probably say, well, I had to say, put out the statement then, because otherwise this, that and the other, things that we don't know
well,
about.
I think with the furlough thing, I think he's a businessman protecting his business.
Yeah.
Now, that's what he's done. And you have to credit him for protecting the business.
Yeah.
What you can't do is, with financial fair play, you can't say, oh, well, he's got this money and that money, and so is Joe Lewis, but they're not allowed to put it in. But they can't just drop 10 million off. So they can't just do that. And he's protecting our football club. So whether it's right or wrong, he's doing what's right for what he thinks is right for the business.
And Spurs fans think that Joe Lewis, sitting in the Bahamas, should just go dip into his billions and just go, right, don't worry, Spurs, I'll pay all the people's wages now. What a hero he would be if he'd done that. But is that what business people are doing all over the world?
No.
Are they all going, well, I've made billions, so what I'll do is I'll pay all my staff. Don't worry. It's also, but because we're Spurs fans, we look at it and go, well, Joe Lewis is a C word because he's not doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else is, are they? That's why they are.
Well, I don't think you can, because of financial fair play.
Well, could be that as well. Could be illegal to do that. You're right. I don't know. But on the surface of it, you know, you read a little article or someone's tweet, and then you go, oh, yeah, no, that's right, that is. So, but we don't know. We don't know how it works.
No.
That's the thing. That's the.
I just think if it was.
That's why we have to debate it.
But if it was me, I think what. And we could all say this is what. You know, it would have been good to use the salaries of the players to potentially support. And I'm sure they wanted to do that. Yeah. Like those players that are at the training ground, you know, the chefs, the cleaners, the ground, you know, of course they want to protect those people's jobs. They see them every day. They love them. You know, they're all part of the club.
Yeah.
But maybe there's rules and regulations inside there that means they can't operate like that.
Yeah.
You know, they can't just chuck them 10 grand or 20 grand or 30 grand. So it's a difficult one, but unfortunately, we've come out and done it, and we're seen as the bad guys. But he's just acting as a businessman, protecting Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Yeah, don't know how it works.
Anyway,
that was fun.
Good stuff. Great fun.
Yeah, I'll see you in October for the marathon.
Perfect. Speak to you soon.
See ya. Come on, you Spurs.
Thanks, mate. See you later. Up the Spurs.
All right. La, da, da, la. La, 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 la. La 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 la, la 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 la. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high.